All right, you guys, here's how to support this show. Sign up for the podcast feeds, first of all, at scotthorton.org or at the Libertarian Institute, libertarianinstitute.org. Drop by scotthorton.org/donate. And anybody who donates $20 now, you'll be first on the list to get the audiobook when it's done. I swear it's almost done. That's at scotthorton.org/donate. For a $50 donation, you get a signed copy of the book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. $100 gets you a QR code, commodity disc as a kickback there. And anyone who donates $200 or more to the Scott Horton Show, or to the Libertarian Institute for that matter, gets a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian audiobooks. It's the best deal going anywhere. And hey, I accept Bitcoin. ScottHorton.org/donate for my address there. And of course, I'm also on Patreon.com if you want to donate per interview. Anybody who signs up for a dollar or more per interview at Patreon.com, you get 2 free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. ScottHorton.org/donate. Hey, shop Amazon.com by way of my link at ScottHorton.org. Give me a good review on iTunes or Stitcher or however it is that you listen to this show. And by the way, we're working on that Google Plus, whatever it is, the Google Player, Google thing. And give me a good review on Amazon.com if you liked my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan.
War is the improvement of investment climates by other means, Clausewitz, for dummies.
The Scott Horton Show.
Taking out Saddam Hussein turned out to be a pretty good deal.
They hate our freedoms.
We're dealing with Hitler Revisited.
We couldn't wait for that Cold War to be over, could we? So we can go and play with our toys in the sand. Go and play with our toys in the sand.
No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare.
Today, I authorized the armed forces of the United States to begin military action in Libya. That action has now begun.
When the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot be silent in the face of the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government.
All right, you guys, introducing Will Porter. He is a blogger, and he's already kind of a journalist. He's going to be a real one someday. He blogs at themarketradical.wordpress.com and at notbeinggoverned.com, and I run his articles at antiwar.com and at the Libertarian Institute as well. This one's at the Libertarian Institute. We ran it on antiwar.com too. It's called Yemen's Silent Numbers, Official Death Count Masks War's Toll on Civilians. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Will?
I'm good, Scott. Thank you for having me on, man.
Good to talk to you, dude. So listen, I'm really glad that you wrote this piece. I've been wondering a lot about this. We've been hearing the same numbers for a long time straight when you and I know that it must be a lot worse than that. But of course, and I know you listen to the show and you know the journalist Nasser Arabi that I'm talking to all the time, reporting from Sana'a, Yemen, who has much higher numbers than the UN, who has said on the show that he confronted one of the UN representatives and with his higher numbers, and that the UN representative told him, oh yeah, no, I don't dispute that. I'm just saying this is all I can prove myself, but this and that. So I think you maybe were curious about the same thing. What all can we know about the casualties in at least the latest iteration of the war in Yemen, beginning March 2015.
Yeah, so as you said, nobody really knows how many people are getting killed in the Saudi coalition's air campaign right now, and bombings and shellings and stuff. And there are some human rights groups in Yemen that have sort of limited access to the country, but none of them are really doing comprehensive civilian casualty counting. And right now, the only agency that's really attempting to do that is the United Nations Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, or the OHCHR. And right now, that agency's, their tally right now is just under 14,000 casualties. And they break that down into like 5,100 dead and about 8,700 wounded. But there are some problems with this figure that kind of break down in 3 ways, I think. And so the first thing is simply the fact that the OHCHR has not put out new figures. It hasn't updated its data in over 3 months. And so you have daily bombings and shellings going on in Yemen. And so 3.5 months worth of shellings is probably a lot of civilians that are being left out of that toll. And so the first issue is simply the frequency with which the OHCHR actually updates its figures.
Well, let me stop you right there for a second because, I mean, 5,000, I mean, that just sounds like, how could that possibly be in a war bombing a country? And we're talking about directly, you know, people killed in combat being bombed particularly, I guess, mostly by the Saudi Air Force here. Seems almost impossible that the number would be as low as 5,000-something. But the separate question is, I thought they've been saying for, you know, a year or more now that it was 10,000 who'd been killed so far, which is,
yeah,
to me, also sounds incredibly ridiculously low.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you go and look at the most recent data, as far as I can tell, for the OHCHR, all I can see is the 5,100 figure. But yeah, I have also seen the conflicting, like, 10,000 figure as well. But I've also wondered if people are conflating injured and killed when they say that.
Yeah, okay, maybe you're right about that. Okay, so anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead then.
Oh, it's all right. The first problem, the first limitation is simply the fact that the OHCHR, they're not updating their figures regularly enough. However, the agency itself, another issue is just its methodology. It, like, really, and you kind of referred to this earlier when, you know, Nasser Arabi confronted a UN representative. They said, like, yeah, probably, you're probably right. And so up front, the OHCHR admits that its methodology really limits it and its figure to be much smaller than what the likely figure is. And so, I mean, that's not really a criticism of the agency. You can't really hold that against them. But, I mean, if this figure is supposed to be showing us what the picture, what the situation is in Yemen, it's kind of really understating that. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of these limitations in their methodology.
Mm-hmm. And again, now Nasser says 70,000. And now you talk to him. You're not just relying on my interviews or whatever. You apparently spoke with him or emailed with him about this. And what all did he say about his methodology?
Well, yeah, he talked about how he talks to local civil society groups and humanitarian groups in Yemen. And I tried to get a hold of a few of these, but was unable to. But Nasser says that, yeah, he talks to these guys, and it's just based on his observations and their collection of statistics that he estimates the 70,000 figure.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's a difference between North and South here and the different sides of the wars, too. So I guess the Houthis have assaulted Aden in the past and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, as far as I know, I think in the north right now, like as far as the humanitarian situation and the toll on the toll on civilians, I think it is worse in the north, in the, you know, the Houthi areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the ones who are blockaded. All right, so, and then that's it. Who else is counting here? I mean, I know Doctors Without Borders is there, but they don't do, I guess, they're not really necessarily dividing their patients between combat casualties and people who are sick or whatever else.
Right, exactly. And most other rights groups that are in Yemen, they don't really do like comprehensive overall round numbers. They kind of like document, you know, individual violations of humanitarian law. Mm-hmm. And so that's not, I mean, that's obviously valuable work. It's giving you sort of emblematic cases of, you know, that might represent the overall war. Mm-hmm. But we still don't really know the round numbers here.
Well, and there's really nothing so far that's an attempt to do kind of a survey and count excess death rates and this kind of thing like we've seen in Iraq.
Right.
Not yet.
Right, exactly. There's no one who's gone in afterward and tried to account for all this. However, I was going to say a third problem with the OHCHR, or a limitation for their figure, is simply the fact that they rely on a lot of medical facilities in Yemen. And in July, it was reported that over 65% of Yemen's medical facilities had either been completely destroyed or damaged in the war. And so you've got a situation where the UN's relying on health facilities for data on the killed and injured, but obviously they can't get that if the hospital is out of commission.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly true. And of course, you know, as Claire Manera from Doctors Without Borders has talked about, even when they have the medicine and whatever to help people, the methods of distribution are just incredibly limited. So even if you got it, you can't necessarily get it to the people who need it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, you've got widespread destruction of roads and other infrastructure, and it makes it so where people can't even really get to hospitals. You know, if you live in some rural area, or if you live, you know, far away from a hospital, it's because the closest one's been destroyed. You know, that 10-hour drive or whatever might mean your death if you're bleeding from, you know, shrapnel wounds or if your kid's got cholera or something.
Hang on just 1 second. Hey guys, here's how to support this show. Buy my book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. Buy lots of copies. Also, The War State by my friend Mike Swanson. It's a great book, the early history of the rise of the military-industrial complex after World War II in the Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy years. You'll really dig it. And also get his investment advice at wallstreetwindow.com. And when you do and you follow it, then what you'll want to do is get your precious metals at Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. That's rrbi.co, rrbi.co. They've been around for about 40 years, and they do great work. And if you buy with Bitcoin, there's no charge. LibertyStickers.com for your anti-government propaganda. Tom Woods, Liberty Classroom. Follow the link at scotthorton.org. I'll get a kickback from him there. And check this out. If you want a new 2018 model website, well, look at the one at foolserrand.us, the guy that made that. The company that made that, Expand Designs, Harley Abbott there at Expand Designs. If you go to expanddesigns.com/Scott, you'll save $500. I'm afraid that people hear this and they go, "Hey, only a few thousand people have died. What's really the big deal anyway?" You know? But yeah, that just it can't be right. It's got to be 2.5 years of this. And now here's the deal too. And I know that you've been paying attention the whole time too. From the very beginning of this thing, we were warned by all the international aid groups that this is a country that is the poorest country in the Middle East, that imports 80 to 90% of its food. Now, obviously, people can make some adjustments, but it's, you know, and that's, of course, different than people just being bombed, although all reports are of massive bombing campaigns in the north as well as in Sana'a and wherever else with massive civilian casualties, so it seems like they would be a lot higher. But when it comes to the people dying of deprivation, and nobody's counting that at all, even estimating that, right? They have, well, for example, we keep hearing estimates of how many people have cholera. We've gone from 30 to 50 to now 900,000 people, right, according to the WHO, and the others by the end of the year will be at 1 million people have cholera. But we don't know how many people are dying of it. What percentage of them are dying of it? Who's doing anything about it? That, you know, is it making enough of a difference at all, or what? You know,
right. We've been hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I guess I'm just trying to kind of confront the dissonance here between this poor country being carpet bombed and being blockaded and strangled, and these supposedly very low numbers. And I guess a lot of it is just who gets counted and who doesn't, and who's available to do any counting and these kind of things.
Right, right. I mean, 2 years ago, we were already looking at like a very dire humanitarian crisis there, even before the cholera. And so, yeah, and it seems the disease numbers, the cholera numbers, do seem to reflect like a dire, severe situation there, in contrast to the civilian casualty numbers, which seem like almost preposterously low. After almost 3 years of fighting, you're telling me only 5,100 people have died. That seems implausible.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Matthew Akins wrote a thing for Rolling Stone. He came on the show and talked about it, how he snuck into North Yemen, and I forget the name of the town anymore where he was, but he said that the Saudis had just bombed the hell out of everything, man. The market, the car dealership, the business, this, that, the other thing, the local office of everything you got, they had bombed it. And as you're saying, I mean, 65%, that report about the 65% of their hospitals destroyed, do they say in Saudi strikes, or they just say, you know, one way or the other?
I think it was just it generally in the war. I don't know if they specified Saudi.
Yeah. I wonder if there really is a specific Saudi campaign to target those facilities.
I mean, that would not be surprising considering the blockade tactics, which it's obviously not about arms and weapons. It's obviously about depriving the civilian population and putting pressure on them.
Yeah. Man. Well, and so, yeah, the cholera thing, I just want to mention for people who aren't too familiar. I don't want to like, well, yeah, I do want to beat a dead horse about it. So the thing of it is this, it's a very ironic disease because it's just caused by dirty water. So all you need is just basic infrastructure and you have clean water and then you don't have to have cholera at all. And then the other thing is, you don't even really need antibiotics. It's a bacterial infection. But in fact, if you can just stay hydrated for a few days, You'll be all right. I mean, assuming you're not already really sick of something else or whatever, really old or really young. But the thing is, people dehydrate to death because they can't stay hydrated. They can't get the saline. And we're talking about vomiting and diarrhea is how they dehydrate to death. So that's, you know, and of course it is. It's the elderly and it's babies and people who are already sick with other things are the ones who are hit hardest by this. And to think how automatically it could all be turned off. I mean, Donald Trump said, oh, Saudi, please lift your blockade. Donald Trump could end the entire war without even picking up a pen. All he has to do is speak a word out loud and the war is over. And yet this continues on. We're talking a million people with cholera. I mean, we're talking about, we're writing the history of the world here. God damn it. That in the history of the world, there was one time that the North Americans, the middle part, sat by and deliberately inflicted cholera on a million people. And I guess we'll know eventually how many of them died.
It's right, sooner or later.
I don't know. Sorry for editorializing all over your damn interview, but it's your, isn't it weird how this is just a news story? It's not like a genocide going on. It's not the center of anybody's priorities. It's just, you know, the Yemen genocide. Anyway, and then next up, we'll be talking about another one, you know?
Right. Mm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're looking at situations like in Mosul in Iraq. I mean, you had that recent report from Patrick Coburn talking about how there may be 40,000 people buried in this rubble.
Yeah.
You know, so we will not know the real toll of this until the war is over, you know, until people can clean up the mess and really see what the impact has been.
Yep. Yeah, boy, and it looks bad. And, you know, those kind of numbers are a lot more believable compared to the damage. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm an experienced war statistician or whatever the hell, but you see how much violence it takes to amount to a few hundred thousand dead Iraqis or half a million or a million. You know what I mean? Or see how many people die in a smaller war, like when Georgia invaded Osetia, or you know what I mean, or these kind of things. You get a somewhat of a sample idea how many, or when Israel bombs the Gaza Strip, you see how many bombings equal how many dead people and for what period of time, whatever sort of rule of thumb kind of look at it. So I mean, if someone came to us and said that 70,000 75, even 100,000 dead Yemenis in the air war since then. And for that matter, the UAE has their ground forces there too. That would sound right to me, you know? I'd buy that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Well, anyway, man, I don't know. I appreciate your attention to this and really doing the work. The fact that you really stand alone on putting this together is itself really telling and really troubling, but, it's great work, and I appreciate you doing it.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on.
Hell yeah. All right, you guys, that is Will Porter. No relation to Gareth, but maybe it's the Porter gene somewhere back in history. I don't know. Yemen's silent numbers. Official death count masks war's toll on civilians. That's at the Libertarian Institute, libertarianinstitute.org.